Amen.
But I thought
preach it, sister.
I thought I'd add a little paragraph. God is really faithful in the big things and the small things. And I think sometimes it's a matter of us being blind to it, not being able to see it. As you all know, it's been really challenging losing my mom about a year ago. And God has a specific way of placing special people in your life at particular times. A few months back, I took my first trip to Babies R Us and Bye Bye Baby. And it's daunting. All the baby stuff, and when being a new mom, not having kids around us, Chris and I don't have, most of our friends are older, there aren't a lot of little children around us, and being in a new country, like coming here, I didn't know what a pacifier was, I didn't know what the word latching means, like I was completely lost. So the first time you step into Babies R Us, my mother-in-law was with me, thankfully, and she was as bewildered as me, because the last time she had a child was about like 34 years ago. So it was a very interesting trip. But as I was confiding into my neighbor about how challenged I was, she listened to me, didn't say much, but 2 days later, I had a book in my mailbox with a little note that said, bought that for my cousin. She wanted to buy all of the expensive stuff, but that book saved her. And that book has been amazing. And it sounds trivial, right? We're just talking about a book that reviews strollers and diaper bags and all of that fun stuff. But to me, it was a tangible evidence of God's faithfulness to place the right people in your life at the right time.
Amen.
And if you look around, these people are everywhere. Amen. So I really thank God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow. You know, it's really interesting if you know, if we could only see God's whole plan and purpose and everything, if you look around you, there's a reason why God wanted you to be with these people today. No matter who it is, there's a purpose in it. You know, we think, oh, you know, a lot of times we think stuff just happenstance, but you know, God's got an order in everything. And you're here today because of something in God's divine order and purpose. And so never take anything for granted. You know, we make our plans, but God directs our steps. And sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in just these strange places, and it's like, okay, God, what are you doing? Show me, open my eyes. Let me know if I need to be an influence on somebody today, or if somebody is in my presence in order to be an influence on me today. You know, it matters. We encourage one another. We build each other up. We edify. That's the whole purpose of coming to church, is so that we can edify one another, build up the body of Christ, encourage one another. And so think about that. If you're down today, guess that there's somebody here in this room right now that God wants to use to encourage you. If you're up today, then there's somebody in this room that God wants to use you to encourage. That's just how it works. It's a beautiful thing. Anyone else want to share a testimony? I'll do one more. Yes, Danny.
I want to thank the Lord that I had a check and I had it sent it out. And for some reason I lost it. And I was through 2 or 3 days, I couldn't find that check. I don't know what happened to it. And I always pray to the Lord. I says, Lord, send an angel to find that check. And I looked all over. I couldn't find it. Nothing like that was going on. But Saturday, I used to go to the dump. For some reason, that check was on top of the garbage in the can. I don't know how I got there or what, but God knew that I was going to the dump. And there it laid right on there. I says, thank you, Lord, because my wife says, did you mail it out? I think I did. And yeah, but I thank the Lord, though. It got sent out. Maybe a little late, but it got sent out.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I think there's something deeper in that. Something about throwing our money away. Oh, God, restore all that we just throw away. I'll share a quick story just because you reminded me. I was at the insurance office one day paying a bill, and I dropped my check in between the desk and the wall. and they couldn't, you know, couldn't get to it. And the lady's digging in there and trying to reach. She couldn't under the desk. She couldn't reach it and whatnot. So I helped her move the desk, and we get in there, and I find my check, but I found an envelope also back there that was there. And so I pull it out, and she opens it up, and there was a check in there for over $8,000 that had been missing for almost a year. And then from somebody else. And it's like, oh, I'm so glad we found this. And like, yeah, I bet the person who gave it to you is real glad you found it too. But, amen. Hebrews chapter 12. The Lord laid a word on my heart that I want to share with you today. Verses 1 and 3, and I'm going to read it from the NIV today. Those of you who've heard me preach all these years, and you know, the New International Version, the NIV, I always pick on it saying it's a non-inspired version, but it inspired me this time. And that's just a joke, by the way. Most of the translations are really, really good. There's only a few that I a few things I don't like, but it's important, you know, to understand Bible translations and which one fits you best. You know, some people like to read the King James. They like the these and the thous. And other people are like, I read that and I haven't got a clue what it's saying. So, you know, get an NIV, a New International Version, or I like to read the New King James Version because it's written in today's language. But find a translation that God can speak to your heart through. Well, today I'm going to read from the NIV. It says, therefore, verse 1, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that today you will speak to my heart. You'll change my life. And Lord, let us all today hear your voice and just be prompted by you and encouraged by you to do what it is that you've called us to do and to be who it is that you have called us to be. Bless each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right there is what I just read. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, what he is talking about there, if you know the book of Hebrews, the chapter just before that is called the faith chapter. It's Hebrews chapter 11. And if you read Hebrews chapter 11, you will see all of these names of people in the Old Testament who by faith did certain things. I found it interesting as I was reading through that again that even it says by faith, the parents of Moses put them in the river. And that's really interesting to me. I just thought that was interesting because anybody know the name, Moses' parents' names? No. But they were significant enough in God's purpose and plan that he mentions them in the New Testament several, you know, 1,000 years later, however long it was, that by faith. And so there's a list of people by faith. And so Paul says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, in other words, all of these people who acted out in faith, they're all watching. They're all in heaven right now, and they're all rooting for us. Do you know that? I believe that. All those who've gone before, they're with Jesus. And Jesus is interceding to the Father on our behalf. And I believe all of that cloud of witnesses, basically because, you know, Paul mentions it here in his letter in the Hebrews. I believe that they're a cloud of witnesses. They're rooting for us. They're watching. They want us to make it. They want us to get it right. They want us to trust God, even in the midst of the worst. You know, if you read through that list in chapter 11, you'll see toward the end where some of them, you know, a lot of them did great things, and God saved them from lions' mouths, and God saved them from fiery furnaces, and God saved them from other things. But then there was a list of other guys where they weren't saved, where they were sawn in two, and they were slain by the sword, and they were murdered and killed and tortured and endured all of this hard stuff, but never lost their faith. You know, how do you know? I've said this probably 100 times now. How do you know if you have faith in God if you're never given anything, something to have to believe him for? And when it gets hard and it gets difficult, that's when you find out if you got faith in God or not. I run into all kinds of people who are angry with God. Well, why did God let this happen? Why did God let that happen? Well, I don't have the answer for this, but I know that I can trust him no matter what. How do I know that? Because I have applied faith in my life, and that faith gives me encouragement, it gives me strength, and it gives me hope for a future. And no matter what goes on around me, I'm going to trust God. And so he says, and this is what I really want to talk about, let us throw off everything that hinders. Let us throw off everything that hinders. And here's the question that I have for you this morning. What is in the way? What is keeping you from fully serving God? What is hindering you from not doing everything that he wants you to do? What is the weight that is on you? If you read any other translations, like the New King James, it says, lay aside every weight. Well, a weight is a heavy thing, right? What heavy thing is on you that is keeping you from putting your full trust in Jesus Christ? Whatever it is, Paul encourages you, throw it off. Throw it off. We don't want to have anything that hinders us along the way. Hindrances. Anybody like hindrances? No. Last week we had a snowstorm. It was a big hindrance, wasn't it? Took a lot of extra effort, didn't it, Brother Paul, to get out that driveway? You have something to say?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yeah.
And I wasn't able to get a hold of him for 2 days.
Yeah.
If you see your brother Paul without his phone ever.
Oh, is it in the snowbank?
No.
Oh.
We couldn't get a hold of him.
Oh.
He was making Thanksgiving dinner, and he told me he stumbled, and I was afraid.
Uh-huh.
But I have faith that
he showed up here Wednesday. He did fine.
Next time I'll call your phone.
Please do, because if I had thought of it, I'd have drove right out there and plowed him out. I had no idea.
He's not 20 anymore. And believe me, he tries to be 20. But he's not. And it's
scaring me. You know what, Jackie, though? Let me just say this. If I had a hard job to do and I had to pick between a 20-year-old or your father, I would take your father. Yeah, because he would work harder than most 20-year-olds today. Anyway, we were way off. See, she hindered me. Did you see that? You see how that works? Throw off every hindrance. Throw off every hindrance. But not only that, so think about it. Be intentional about your thoughts. Throw off every hindrance that hinders your walk with God. So ask yourself, what is it that hinders me from doing what I know God wants me to do? Now, this is something that I've been tapping into lately. The truth of it is, you already know what God wants you to do. I don't have to tell you. Every morning when you get up, there might be something in the just deep in your heart or way in the back of your mind just gnawing at you, hey, do this today. And you ignore it. We all have done it, haven't we? Raise your hand if you've done that. Yeah, I know I'm not alone. And so think about the things that you already know. Throw that off. I knew when I was 18 years old and I was introduced to the church, I knew the things in my life that had to be thrown off. It took me a little while to get to the point where I would do it. But I did. And oh, what a difference it has made in my life. And so be intentional. I'm always talking about being intentional. Spiritual growth is not accidental. It's not just going to happen by happenstance. You have to do something intentional about it. Think about the things that are hindering you. Think about the things you know God wants you to do. What's blocking you from doing that? Throw it out of the way. What is it that hinders you from being who you know God wants you to be? You know God wants you to be a certain kind of person. You know that. I don't have to tell you. I could say, well, you should do this, you should be that, and whatever, yada, but you already know. Because God speaks to your heart the same way that he speaks to mine. And so what is keeping you from being that person? The person who is willing to go over to your neighbor's when he's shoveling. You know, my sister, I went over to her house, and she had already shoveled some because I was here and there and trying to get people plowed out that I knew, and Billy was out plowing out people he knew, and just as people popped in mind, well, I go over to my sister's. Of course, that's a story, too. It's always a story with my sisters. I got stuck in her ditch. Somebody pulled me out of the ditch. I was on one side of her driveway in the ditch. Somebody comes along, pulls me out of the ditch, right into the ditch on the other side of the driveway. So I was like, thanks, but no thanks. We knocked her mailbox over a little bit. I was like, but she said to me, she said, you know, I've been out here shoveling for a couple of hours, and there's people driving by with pickup trucks with plows, and not one person, they had to see me out here shoveling, not one person stopped to even offer, hey, I'd do this for so much money even, you know. Who is it that God wants you to be? Every time as I'm driving down the road, I'm looking, and as I see people shoveling, I'm like, okay, are they almost done, or can I help them out? The neighbor over here, we were plowing the church, and they were just working. I'm like, hey, can I do that for you? Yeah, gladly. How much are you going to charge? I'm not going to charge you. I'm your neighbor. What kind of person does God want you to be? And what's keeping you from being that person? Right? What's hindering it? Throw it out of the way. And when you can put your finger on it, when you can figure out, oh, you know what? If this right here is kind of hindering me from being the person God wants me to be and from doing the things I know God wants me to do. When you put your finger on it, start the process of moving that thing out of the way. You know, it's wonderful if you can tear that whole thing down and throw it away right now, but sometimes there's a process. It took me about 6 months. When I was 18 years old, I got introduced to the church. It took me about 6 months to work through the things in my life to finally throw it all out. And so my question is, what's hindering you? What's keeping you from being all that God wants you to be and doing all that God wants you to do? If you're in the wrong workplace, get a different job. If you're, you know, doing stuff in the night that is meaningless and not helpful to advancing God's kingdom, then do something else. Only you know the things in your life that can be changed. And only you know the things in your life that God wants you to do. And you are the only one that can make that change. Get it out of the way. Everything that hinders. Now, he goes on to say, throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Isn't it interesting how sin so easily entangles us? It's easy. You know, I hate to go there because everybody calls me out on this, because I'm so guilty. I'm beginning to want to think about soda pop as a sin. Because I can't stop drinking the stuff. Brother, ice cream, yeah. Amen. I was able to do away with alcohol years ago. In fact, last night we were talking with somebody, and I remembered the last place I was, the last beer that I drank. I remember that. And I put it off. No, it wasn't with you. No, that was the first one. Yeah. Yeah. Every chance you get, you got to throw your sister under the bus. But yeah, no. But you know, I was able to, with God's help, get rid of that. And I know that with God's help, I can get rid of the soda pop too. But I don't want to. I hear an amen. Anybody else in that boat? Amen. It's not easy because it's everywhere. And it tastes good. And if you go cold turkey, you get a headache for a couple of days. That's pretty bad when you're so dependent on soda pop that when you go through withdrawal, you know. But you know, the sad thing of it is, I look at that and it's like, it's only soda pop, really? And then I think about these who are hooked on drugs and other things, and how hard it is. You know, we look at the drug addict and we think, well, why is it, why don't they just stop? Okay, just stop drinking soda pop. See how that is, how that works out for you. When your body gets addicted, it's addicted. You need something greater than yourself to get over it. And that's why we do Celebrate Recovery here on Wednesday nights, to help people see that Jesus can help you with that. But you got to want it. I know Jesus can help me get rid of soda pop, but I got to want it. I'm getting to the place, a little bit at a time, where I want it. I'm getting some new incentive, you know, and it's a good thing to, if God gives you an open door where you can find some incentive in something, use it. I've just learned that my mother might have to go off of soda pop because it just has adverse effects on her body. And I'm thinking, you know what? For her, I quit alcohol for Jesus because I knew that that was something that he wanted me to do, and I quit for him. You know, I shared that story, how after, you know, communion, Jesus said, you know, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's house. And so, in paradise with you. And so I'm thinking, okay, if Jesus is going to abstain from alcohol until he sees me, then I can do that for him. And I put it away, and I haven't touched it since. Well, you know what? I think maybe I could stop drinking alcohol for my mom. I've already conquered that one. This is good. That's how I know you're listening. Thank you, Pamela. But you know what? I'm going to tell my mom, Mom, if you have to stop drinking this stuff, I'm going to stop drinking it with you. She'll give me incentive, and I'll encourage her. And that's a good thing. If you need, you know, there's such thing in the world of addiction called accountability partners and sponsors and things like that. Somebody to walk alongside you, if that's what you need, do it. Whatever it takes to throw off the hindrances and to throw off the sin that so easily entangles. And that's just a simple thing. Trust me, we all have deeper things in our lives that we need to get rid of than soda pop, right? I mean, and be honest. And so identify what your own sin nature is. If you don't identify it, you won't do anything about it. Get on your knees and pray. God, what's in my life that doesn't belong there? What is hindering me? What is it? And most of us probably have the answer already at the top of our heads, but sometimes there's things that come along that, oh, I didn't know that was a sin, you know? Anybody ever walked that bridge? You know, cross that bridge? Like, oh, I've been doing that my whole life. I didn't know it was a sin. Well, now I do. Okay, God, reveal to me whatever sin there is that so easily entangles me and keeps me from serving you and from being, worshiping you and from being who you want me to be. Throw that stuff off. Who likes being entangled? Nobody. Nobody. All right, let's move on. It says in that verse, run with perseverance. Depending on the translation you use, the NIV says perseverance, the King James says patience. Run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Now, that word perseverance, it comes from a Greek word that means steadfastness, constancy, and endurance. And it says there in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and suffering. And so what he's saying there when he says to run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, is to go run toward Jesus and don't let anything slow you down. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter what troubles you come across, the trials and the tribulations or hardships. Keep running toward Jesus. How many here could testify that because you keep running toward Jesus, you don't fail? You never fail. You just keep going. And it gets tough. Oh, it gets real tough. But when you keep running toward Jesus, there's hope for a future. There's faith that, you know, he's going to bring you through. And when it's all said and done, He's gonna reward you. You know, at the end of every race, there's a reward, right? And I like to think of this as
not just the individual race, because sometimes people get confused with, well, if we're all running, only one of us can win. Well, I like to think of it more like we're the army, right? We're the army of God. How many of you know that when you go in the army and you've got a platoon of people, you've got a unit of people, you want everybody across the line, not just the first guy. You want the last guy across the line too, right? Because nobody wins if everybody doesn't show up. And so it's that kind of race. We're all in this thing together. Run it with perseverance and with patience. And why is it that we're in this together? Because there are times when you're going to trip and fall, and you're going to need me to pick you up. And there's going to be times when I'm going to stumble or get off the path and run, and I'm going to need you to get me back on the path and keep going in the right direction. It's important to run the race with endurance and with constancy and steadfastness, no matter what. And it says there to run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. That's important. Marked out for us. You ever run a race and you don't know where it goes? Anybody, you know, ever run a marathon? And you know, those 25-mile marathons or even the 5K, you're running along and there's arrows on the street. Oh, go this way. When it's time to turn, oh, let's go that way. The path, the race is marked out for us. Do you know that? You know, we're not running this thing blindly. You don't get in the race headed for the throne of God without any direction. All the directions right here. She mentioned it this morning. Read that Bible. You need to know which way to turn. The directions are right in there. Anybody ever go on a long trip without a map? That may be fun and exhilarating, but you're going to run out of gas before you get to where you're going because you don't know where you're going. You need a map. You need something. If you're going to get in a race, you got to know where to go. And so the path is marked out for us. The race is marked out for us. How do I find it when I don't have the Bible next to me? Well, I get on my knees and I ask God, Lord, which direction do I go now? And He tells you. How many have faith to believe that God will speak to you? He'll speak directly to your heart. When you ask Him, the Bible says if you seek, you will find. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. And so what do? God, I don't know which way to turn right now. I have run into a wall. There's a T in the road. I got to either go left or I got to go right. Or we're out in the middle of the woods and I'm just totally turned around and lost. Anybody ever have that? Yeah, all the hunters are like, I'm not raising my hand. I'm not going back. I remember one time I was a kid walking through the woods with one of my cousins. Some of my other cousins are here today, so I'll tell you, it was Raymond. Me and Raymond are out in the woods. We're little. And it was a cloudy day. And I'm pretty good with directions. Even when I was little, I was pretty good with directions. And we're like, okay, well, we followed this path in, and then we just kind of wandered off the path. We're like, okay, let's just go this way. We'll head back to your house. So we started going that way. And we kept going that way. And we kept going that way, and the next thing I know, we're right back where we started. I'm like, what? How did that happen? I thought we were going this direction, but we weren't. We ran around in a circle. Well, if somebody had marked the trees, it would have been a whole lot easier. But we have the path marked out for us, thank God. How about we follow the map? How about we follow the instructions? It's really not that difficult. Just read it. Let me encourage you, if you're new to the Bible, read the New Testament first. Read it all the way through to the end. You'll get so much direction and information out of that that'll guide your life. It'll give you strength and hope and peace. And you'll find salvation there in Jesus Christ. And you'll head in a direction that you'll never want to turn back from. The path is marked out for us. The race is marked out for us. Amen. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Jesus is the only one who shows us the way to win. That's what it said there in verse 2 of that portion of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, is what it says. Fix your eyes on Jesus. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, when you're running a race, would you run a race if you knew there was absolutely no benefit to it? Probably not. I mean, there are some crazy people out there that just run, you know, Forrest Gump just ran and ran and ran and ran. What was the purpose? There wasn't any. When he got to the end, he's just like, okay, I'm going home now. And everybody's all disappointed because they thought they were running for something. But you know what's funny about that is when you're running in this world and you don't fix your eyes on Jesus, you're just like those people that were following Forrest Gump out there for no reason at all. You're running, you're running, you're running, you exhaust yourself, and you exhaust yourself, and in the end, what's it all about? What's the purpose? Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. It is Him who endured the cross and the shame of it, and He sat down at the right hand of the Father. Now, Jesus, you know, He didn't have to do what He did. But He did it because He knew there was a purpose in it. And I want you to understand something. You turn to Jesus and you start following Him, you'll figure out, you know what, there's a purpose in all this. God created us for His pleasure. He created us by His own will. You wouldn't be here if he didn't want you to be here. In other words, you wouldn't have even came into existence. You know, we think it is such a miracle, and it really is such a miracle. When a baby is conceived, it's incredible. But that doesn't happen without God saying, okay, this little one, swim all the way up in there and get in that egg. Because I want that one. You never know where I'm going to go, do you? But it's just so awesome that God says, you know what, I want that one. And here you are. And there's a purpose in it. And if we would fix our eyes on that purpose the way Jesus did, you know, Jesus, He knew that if He endured the cross, who would want to do that? Now, especially when He didn't have to, because He didn't sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not the wages of living a perfect life and never sinning. That's what Jesus did. He lived a perfect life without sinning. But He chose to endure the cross because He wanted fellowship with you and I for eternity. We couldn't go to heaven if it weren't for Him dying on the cross for us, dying for our sins. And so He knew what He was doing. And even though it was going to be difficult, He endured it. How many know that the Christian life is sometimes difficult? It's not always an easy thing to show up at the party where everybody's drinking and having a great time and you're just standing over, no, that's right, I don't do that anymore. Not, you know. And I don't want to say that because, you know, don't put yourself above anybody else. Yesterday I was at a dinner and there's a young lady that wanted to have a drink and she looked down the table at me and was like, I'll just have water. And I'm like, if you want a beer, have a beer. It's... Well, I didn't want to be judged. I'm like, I'm not going to judge you. I would rather she didn't have the beer, but you know what? She's got to walk her walk. I got to walk mine. But you know, Jesus, He didn't do anything. He didn't do none of that. He didn't deserve to die, but He did it. Because He wanted fellowship with us for eternity. He could have just left the earth, went to be with the Father, and spent all the rest of eternity with God the Father and with all the angels and the two-thirds of the angels that stayed there. Right? He could have done that, but no. He chose to die on the cross so that we could be there too. There's a purpose in it all. Now, what's the purpose of us living for Jesus? So that we can be there with Him for eternity. There's a promise to us. Those who believe receive eternal life. I believe everybody sitting here this morning wants to have eternal life. Anybody not want to have eternal life? No. So what do you got to do to have eternal life? You got to run this race. And you got to fix your eyes on Jesus and don't look back. When it's all said and done, there is a reward at the end. And we will sit down in heaven with God. But you must do it His way, through His truth and His life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I want to get there if for nothing else. You know what? If all it was, you know, we show up, and if all we get to do is to step into the room and say, thank you, Jesus, and then walk back out, I would still do it. But I know there's so much more than that. Eternity with our Savior, our King, and our Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus. But, Pastor, something happened over here. Okay, stuff's going to happen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because once you start looking at the wind and the waves over here, what happened to Peter, right? And he jumps out of the boat. He's walking on the water like the coolest dude on the planet. The only man other than Jesus that walked on water. And as soon as he saw the waves, it's like, uh-oh, he starts to sink. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Lastly, I'm just going to give you one more thing. Consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinners, it says in that last verse there, verse 3 in Hebrews chapter 12. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is something that I see every now and again where a believer grows weary and loses heart. You know, it is easier when you walk into that room and the party's going on and everybody's, hey, you know what, yeah, I'll go ahead and have a few with you. It's easier to do that rather than to stand up to the opposition and the ridicule. You don't know how many times I've been to, you know, places where people would try to shove stuff in my hand. It's like, you know what, I don't want it. Oh, you think you're better than us? No, that's not at all. That's not at all. I don't want it. I have a different direction I'm going with my life, and I'm not going to allow you to cause me to stumble. My eyes are focused on Jesus Christ. My heart is set. My mind is made up. I'm going with Jesus all the way. Remember that song? Some of you are like, I don't know what he's talking about. So you Sarah remembers it. But it says, consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinners. Now here's the thing. Not everybody follows Christ. And those who don't follow Christ like to ridicule those who do. Why is that? I don't know. I did it. Before I knew anything about God, I thought, man, those people are weird. There's something wrong with them. You walk into a church for the first time and you see, especially a Pentecostal church for the first time, you see people raising their hands and clapping and singing and shouting hallelujah and falling down on the floor when they go to the altar. And what is this all about? I'm out of here. And those people are weird. You know, a lot of times we will scoff at and we will ridicule and you know, the things that we don't understand. It's pretty easy to do. Maybe partly because of fear, the unknown, we don't know. Maybe because we're just a little uncomfortable, and the truth of it is that when we're sinners, we are very uncomfortable when we get into the presence of God and we get into the presence of God's people. We get a little bit uncomfortable. But sinners will be opposition to people who are following Christ. That's just the way it is. And Jesus endured it. And what the Bible tells us there is to consider how Jesus endured it all the way to the cross. You know, if you think about what he did on the cross, he, being nailed to that cross, having had his beard pulled out, been beaten, having been flogged, you know, and I don't need to describe all that. He was a mess. I mean, he was tortured, basically. and nailed to that cross and held up, and they mocked him and they ridiculed him. And the truth of it is he, of all people, could have came down off of that cross and wiped them all out and said, you know what, I don't need any of you. I'm out of here. I'm going back to my kingdom in heaven. But he endured it, all of it. And he took it. And more than that, when it was all, he said before he died, he said, God, forgive them. Can you imagine that? Being the person who does not deserve to be there. He didn't do anything wrong, yet they crucified him. He did not deserve to be there. And when it was all said and done, he said, you know what? I will forgive you to those who did it. Had a little conversation. Cruz went to a hockey game yesterday. One boy smacks another boy in the head with his stick. The other boy throws off his glove and whacks the kid. Which would be most of our reaction? Instead of just letting it go. The kid deserved to be smacked, probably. But when you consider what Jesus did on that cross, sometimes it's more like, hey, you know what? Hey, watch your stick next time. I didn't really appreciate that knock in the head, but let's just move along. Are we like that? Do we consider Jesus? Yeah. Somebody said, no, that's not me. Honesty is a good thing, brother. But here's the reason why. Why should we consider what Jesus did in order that we can be like him? So that we don't grow weary and lose heart. You ever see somebody who's lost heart? When somebody loses heart, it's like, it's over. There's no point. God doesn't want that for you and me. Matter of fact, God wants the exact opposite. He wants us to have our hearts strengthened. You know, it's hard. When we get to that place in our lives and we trust Jesus enough, that no matter what we go through, we understand that, you know what, even this is designed to strengthen me. You know, that kid whacked me in the head. Well, it's designed to strengthen me and make me smarter. Next time, I'll pay attention to the kids around me who have sticks. All right? But we can grow through every circumstance. We can be strengthened and encouraged by every circumstance, even the hardest one. That's not an easy place to get to. But here's the deal. Every time it gets hard, remember Jesus on the cross. Because chances are our heart isn't as hard as that was. Because he doesn't want us to grow weary and grow tired. Why? Because he's got a purpose and a plan for you and I, and there's work for us to do. There are people that need to see me stand up in faith in the midst of trials and tribulations and when adversity comes. They need to see that. They need to see you doing the same thing, because there are people that I need to tell the gospel to in such a way that they will believe it. And there are people that you need to share the gospel with in order that they would hear it and they would look at your life and they would say, hey, you know what? There's somebody that truly believes this stuff. And look at them. Even though they're a mess sometimes in their lives, they don't fall down. They still stand. They still have the energy to go on. They still have the faith to go on because they're focused on Jesus Christ and they're running a race and they're going to make it all the way to the end. And when they get there to the end, they know there's something even greater than all of this that we can see and touch with our eyes and with our hands. There is an eternity out there that is worth running for. Don't give up. Keep going forward. Take everything that is hindering you, everything that slows you down, every sin, you know, every you know, area of your life that gets in the way of you moving toward Christ, get it out of there. And you will find when you get to the end of this race, you will stand with those people that it talked at the beginning, talked about, you know, that cloud of witnesses it talked about in that first day. You'll stand with them. I can't wait to get to heaven And to talk to Moses and say, Moses, what was it like when that sea just opened up right before your eyes? Could you imagine that story? I sure hope that there's videotape in heaven. I do. I want to see some of this stuff. I hope it's like the 3D type, you know, where you can put yourself in there. I want to walk through there. You know, I want to see the sea up in on the, both sides. I want to walk through. You know, somewhere in the New Testament, I don't know where, I'm just kind of going off now, but I remember this. It mentions that that was the greatest miracle in all of the Old Testament. I want to walk. I want to follow that path. I don't want to spend 40 years in the desert afterwards, but. But just stuff like that. And all of those saints are there. You got eternity, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, okay. While you're spending your 40 years in the desert, I'm I want to see those angels that have those swords that are guarding the garden right now. You know, if you read Genesis, you learn that Adam and Eve were basically kicked out of the garden, and there were angels set there with flaming swords to keep them from getting back in. I want to see those guys. I bet they're awesome. I want to shake hands with Michael and Gabriel. They're the only two angels that were mentioned in the Bible. If they even have hands, I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting off track. But the bottom line is this. What's in your way? Get it out of the way. Because I can tell you this, as a believer and having served the Lord for over 30 years now, running this race, there's nothing better than Jesus Christ and Him crucified for our sin. And us putting our faith in Him to save us and give us that eternal life. There's nothing better. There's nothing better than sharing that faith with somebody who's never heard it or somebody who's, you know, just not so sure. That's why I love going out to the jail, ministering out to the jail. I love working with the fatherhood groups that I work with and the people at the Pregnancy Care Center and the different places, the lunch program, you know, just going down there and serving people. There's nothing better than running a race for Jesus Christ. Stand with me if you will. I'm serious. I want you to be intentional. Thinking about what's in your way. What is hindering you? Even as a believer, I have to challenge myself all the time. Lord, is there another stumbling block in my way? Is there something that I could be doing better if I would just remove this thing out of my life? Think about it. Be intentional. I don't know who's back there. It sounds like they're having a good time. But be intentional. Unless, oh, it's my wife. Oh, Mary's a little chatty today? That's all right. Awesome. Being excited about doing something for Jesus. I like that. But I want you to be intentional. I want you to think about the one thing in your life that might be hindering you from taking another step forward in Jesus. Or think about a sin, something that God has been working on your heart about for a long time. For me, it's soda pop. I'm struggling, I'll tell you. But maybe anything. If there's something in your life that needs to be removed in order for you to take another step closer to Jesus, think about that and today make a decision in your heart to begin the process of removing that, whatever it is. Maybe it's a circumstance that was in your life. I talk to people who have had circumstances in their life that just caused them to stumble right there and they never get past it. Don't let that circumstance identify who you are any longer. Let it go. because you can't do anything about it anyway. If something that happened in your past, you can't change it. The only thing you can change is your response to it. And if you're allowing that thing to keep you from moving forward, it's time right now to put that thing away. I had a young man a few weeks ago that I was ministering to explain to me all these things that happened in his past, the reason why he is who he is today. I said, you know what? Stop. Who do you want to be tomorrow? Because what happened yesterday doesn't have to influence who you're going to be tomorrow. You get to choose. And it's not always easy. I get that. But the truth of it is, you can change. And you can start that process right here, right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that every hindrance and every entangling sin that is in our way would be removed. Help us, God, to identify where the stumbling blocks are and to have the courage to remove them out of our, like Paul said, to throw them off. Just throw them off, those weights, those things that keep us from moving forward. I pray that today would be a day of freedom. And today would be a day, God, where we would set our eyes on Jesus Christ and we would run in this race with endurance, with patience, no matter what pitfalls we find in the way, but we would continue going forward and that we would all get there. God, I thank you for everyone in this place today. And I thank you for your word that you have written down for us and the directions that you have given us. And I pray that your word would be our every step's guide. Father, bless each one today with salvation. Bless each one with a faith that will endure no matter what. I pray for miracles like those people I mentioned earlier who stepped out in faith and you did great miracles for them. But I also pray for those who don't receive the miracle that they would continue forward anyway. Lord, bless each one with your love and your presence. And give us the power through Jesus Christ to continue this race all the way to victory. In Jesus' name, amen.